Okay, so in a good talk, you first tell them what you're going to tell them, then you tell them, and then you tell them what you told them, right? So this is what I'm going to tell you. I'm going to talk about the problem that we're having with obesity and overweight in our country and in our churches and in our world. I will tell a little bit of how do you know if you have a problem, and then what do you do about it? I have it made very simple, the ABCs of maintaining a healthy weight. I try to make it simple. I do have scientific research to back up what I have, but I don't think you came here to see a scientific studies. So I'm trying to keep it as simple as possible. At least I hope I can do that. I got a new computer, and I have to figure out if some things don't work that usually would. Okay, so where is the problem? There are some people that have underweight. About 6% of the population, it's probably less now, but it used to be about 6% of the population, they have a struggle keeping enough weight on their body. Now, some of us have a hard time understanding that, but it is true, and they have just as hard a struggle with it than some of us who are trying to keep the weight off. Okay, and we have to acknowledge that. Since this is the minority, and probably even this part, and our audience that's a minority, I'm not going to talk much about that. The problem that I'm going to talk about is overweight. Yes, and it's actually not overweight that is a problem. The problem is over fat. We don't say it that way, it sounds kind of blunt, right? But that is the problem. There are people that are overweight and they have a healthy weight because they have lots of muscle. You've seen them, football players, you know, weightlifters and so on. They may be overweight according to height weight standards, but they don't have a problem. The problem is if we have too much body fat. So that is the problem. And they use the body mass index, which is actually only a height-weight relationship. I'm not going to go into that, how that's measured. It's a relationship of height and weight. It's actually a kilogram divided by meter squared, and that gives you the body mass index, and that's kind of nice. You don't have to deal with heights anymore, with male, female. It's all the same. And they define overweight as the body mass index between 25 and 30, and over 30, that is considered obese. So overweight is before obese. That's basically what we have here as definition. However, body mass index is not the best way of measuring it. It's convenient for large populations where we can't do body fat measurements, but what really counts is how much fat is on you. And if there's too much, it's unhealthy. That's basically it. And I'm going to tell you something about these things. You do have a handout, and there's two pages to it. Can I have one of those? Yes, there's this one that has a color picture. That's basically the outline of my talk. Okay, you can write notes in there. Of course, I didn't want to print off everything, but it kind of just gives the outline. The other thing is about the measurement of body fat. And what we're going to measure, if you want to, we measure your weight in pounds and your body fat percent. So if you weigh 100 pounds and you have 30% body fat, that means 30 pounds of you is fat. That's simple as that. Okay, and that's what this that number stands for. And then there is some more things that you can calculate. And if you want to, I can calculate that with yourself. I'm not going to go take the mass. This is just a matter of math that you put here. You can calculate your desired body weight if you have a aim for your percent body fat. So you can change your percent body fat. If it was 30 before, maybe you want to go to 20, and then you can calculate how much should you be weighing then, assuming that your lean body mass, what is not fat, stays the same. Okay, so that's the handout there, and I'll come to the standards in terms of percent body fat in just a moment. Okay, so where is the problem? We are having a sharply increasing problem worldwide with overweight and obesity. And it has happened so is in the last little bit. Within the last 3 decades, we have doubled the people that are obese in our population. And that is incredible. It is so much of a problem that this is now health problem number one in Canada and many other countries. And the 10 fattest countries in the world, well, U.S. is among the 10 fattest ones. In fact, there are some that even top it, and there are some teeny South Pacific islands. They are even weightier than we are here. But in North America, it's number one, U.S., number two, Mexico. In fact, there have been some reports that Mexico has overtaken the U.S. in terms of overweight problem, and number three, Canada. We are doing a little better than the U.S. and Mexico, but not all that much, unfortunately. Okay? So where are people over fat? South Pacific Islands, they're the worst. Dominica, so that's not far from here, that's the Caribbean. Kuwait, so that's the Arabic countries, and there's several ones that have big problems. Argentina, that's South America. Belarus, that's Europe. Australia, Egypt, that's a part of Africa. Greece, that's Europe. So it's almost everywhere. A big increase. So it has just done a recent turn for the worse. Okay? Why is it? Why have we increased so much in terms of fat in the last 3 decades? Do you have any good ideas? I mean, you are all aware of that, and you have been thinking about it, you have been reading about it. I'm not the expert. You may know some things more than I do. Yes? Okay, technology, and we get less activity that way. Yes. Yes, and okay, so we put less out and we take more in. Yes, however, it is not as simple as that. There is a number of psychological factors involved in that. Okay, and we'll get to that when we talk about it. But yes, that's what they say. And there's some genetics involved in it. If you had parents that were very overweight, you're much more likely to be overweight yourself. However, you cannot explain the obesity epidemic by genetics. Well, genetics don't change over 30 years, at least not that much. Okay, so it is something that we do to ourselves and our lifestyle that is the problem. Yes, somebody was telling me grandchildren came to grandma and grandpa and said, we want to watch some TV, where's the remote control? We don't have one. What? You don't have a remote control? Now how do you turn it on then? Well, you can go there, there's a button on the bottom, you press it and it turns on. The grandchildren were awestruck. What? How far behind you have to walk to the TV to turn it on? Can you imagine? Well, that's how far we got, right? And I'm sure they'll come up with something that will prevent us from even pressing the button. And that's a lot of work, right? Pressing a button. And they'll come up with something that you can implant in your brain that you just think, turn on the TV, and it will turn on. Okay, and they make lawnmowers already that will actually, all you need to do is press a button and it will go out itself and mow the lawn. They do have those ones already, yes. Okay, so yes, we are much less active, much, much less. 100 years ago, people got quite a bit of the physical activity that they needed from their daily work. Nowadays, less than 1% is what we gain from our daily work that we do. It has really gone down. We eat more and we drink more. Yes, and there's a lot of other things. What would happen if the fast food industry would be as rampant in Africa as it was in North America? This is a joke. This is how it would look like in Africa. Now, this is what happened in the US. This is 1990. And you have here the light blue colors is less than 10% of the people are obese. Okay? The blue, the middle blue, 10 to 14, 15 to 19, 20 to 24, etc., etc. This is what happened over, 1990 to 2008, less than 30 years. Okay? It was all blue. At one time, light blue and middle blue mixed. Then we have some dark blue areas. We're getting now into the 20 to 24% of the people obese in the US. And now we are, there's only one state left that's in the blue, dark blue. I think it's Colorado, if I see that right. And the rest of them is either 20 to 24% obese or 25 to 29%. And we already have some states that are over 30% of the population obese. Wow. Wow. That is a fast and significant increase. It is driving several of our health problems. It used to be that the generation to come would live longer than the generation before. That's been reversed because of obesity. Children born now, on the average, live less than their parents in terms of life expectancy. Diabetes is on the increase because obesity and inactivity breeds obesity. It doesn't help cancer either, but that's unfortunately not on the increase. But obesity is definitely on the increase. We'll have to talk about some of the health problems related to obesity. So why is it unhealthy? They look so healthy, right? Well, some people think so. You know, I lived in the Philippines for 9 years, and Filipinos usually are not very overweight, but the wealthy ones are. And they think that a kid like this looks healthy. Because there are so many people that are underweight, they have a hard time getting enough food. Okay? And they think this looks healthy. Well, in this country, that's past. But and that used to be that way. Okay? People, when people starve, then those that have enough to eat look healthy. Okay? And, no, it is not healthy to be overfat. Here's a list of problems that come from it. It's a big psychological burden. People look to you as if you were lazy, which is not true, but that's how they look at it. You have a less chance of getting a job. It goes all the way through. People feel depressed about it because it's a tough one. It's a tough one. It's not easy. Yes, I made it easy with your ABC here, but it's not as easy as it sounds. Losing weight is very hard in our environment. Okay, so it's a big psychological burden. It increases your blood pressure. It increases your bad cholesterol, if there's such a thing. High cholesterol, triglycerides, low-density lipoprotein cholesterol, and the HDL, the good cholesterol, goes down. So it's not good for your blood fats. It increases the risk of gallstones, increases osteoarthritis, joint problem is a big problem because we are not made for that weight. Okay? Increases diabetes type 2, and that's the most common one. 90% of all diabetes is type 2. That's, we used to call it adult onset obesity. Well, nowadays children get it because of the picture you just saw before. Okay? increased cancer, some cancers, colon cancer, rectal cancer, prostate cancer, pancreatic cancer, kidney, breast, uterus, ovaries, gallbladder, bile ducts, those are related to overfat. increased mortality and early death. If you are massively obese, your chance of dying within a given period of time is about 12 times as high as somebody with normal weight. So it can be a big factor. Increased heart disease and stroke, and skin problem is another one. This is, you don't die from that, but because of the increased sweat, especially where skin touches skin, and so on. So it's a big problem. That's what I just want to say, and I'll leave it there. Okay? So we have a big problem. So now, how do you know? Oh, one word of caution. Some people get so carried away with this, and our advertising branch here in this world shows these skinny models that we get a distorted picture of what healthy weight is. Okay? Only 2% of the population can even ever have a shape as these models. And many of those models are anorexic. And anorexia is dangerous. 4% of people that are anorexic die, and a large population, especially of females, is anorexic. So don't take my talk as going in the wrong direction. A healthy weight is not underweight, and it's not like some of these models look like. And I'm not expecting you, or anybody's expecting you, to look like that, nor is it healthy. Okay? So that's the word of caution. Now, how do you know that you're overweight? Well, you measure it. First of all, you can look. Some of it you can see. You look in the mirror, and you can probably tell yourself. But you can measure it. It's not an easy one to measure. Okay, the gold standard supposedly is hydrostatic weighing. You get into a tank of water, you breathe out all the air you have, you go underwater, you weigh the weight that's underwater, and you compare it with the one above water, and there's formulas you can plug that into, and you can get your percent body fat. That's a pretty tough one. We used to do that at Loma Linda, but it's not everybody can do that, and it's not 100% accurate either, but it's supposed to be the most accurate one. There's an X-ray technique nowadays that's called DEXA, that's supposed to be about as accurate in doing that. We can measure skin folds, and that, if that's done right, it actually can give a pretty good measurement of your percent body fat. You have to measure very specific sites on your body that have been studied, and you mark them exactly. Then you measure the skin fold by somebody who knows what he's doing, and this gives the exact millimeters. And then from that, by measuring certain sites, you can actually determine percent body fat, and that's within a few percent of hydrostatic weighing, if it's done right. The one we are using here this morning is called bioelectric impedance. How does that work? It actually sends some electricity through your body. You didn't feel it. It's so low that you don't feel it. And by that, it measures your body water. And from the body water, we can calculate how much fat-free body mass you have. And from that, it calculates how much body fat is on there. It's an indirect way of doing it. And it is easy to do. It doesn't hurt. You don't have to do much of anything. And it doesn't cost much, except the scale itself, but it's not the most accurate, but it's quite reliable. That means it can be repeated very easily. If you stepped on it again, you would get the same result. Okay. However, if you drank a lot of water before, it would change your body water, and then it would give you a different result. So there's some inaccuracy in it, but for all practical purposes, it's a pretty good thing. If you are not an athlete who needs to know if it's 2 or 3% body fat, you'll be fine with it. Okay? Okay, so that's how you know. You need to know the standards too. So if you've gotten your percent body fat measured, this is where it should be. It shouldn't be too low. For males, 5% is too low. Actually, if you're an athlete, it can go down lower than that. I believe in my times, when I was in my 20s, I had a 2% body fat. But that was because I was training and I was exercising a lot, and then it's okay. But usually we say under 5 is not good. And females, God created you differently. And that's normal. And that's supposed to be that way. In fact, you don't want to compare yourself to males in terms of percent body fat. Okay? You're built different, and that's God made you so that He can bear children and nurse children and stuff like that. And so your percent body fat is roughly 10% more than that of males. And that's normal and healthy. Okay? Acceptable lower end, the percent body fat for males is 6 to 15. And it changes over your lifespan. I just measured myself there before we started. And as I said, in my 20s, I was 2% body fat. I haven't gained a pound since then. My weight has stayed the same for the last 40 years. In fact, I don't even diet or anything like this. It's just, it's disgusting, but God made me that way. you look at my siblings, there's 6 of us, they all have the same body shape, and that's probably genetic. We are active too, all of us, that I must say. And I am active, and I, but even though I haven't gained a pound of weight, I have gained percent body fat, and I'm at 15 now. Okay, so I have gained fat and lost muscle. That's basically it. Okay, and that's what happens in the aging process with everybody. However, I wish it wasn't quite that much. Okay, except to the higher end, 16 to 24 for males and up to 31 for females. Well, that's still okay. That's still okay. Now, if you're beyond that, then you come into the unhealthy, too high area. For males, that's above 25, and for females, that's above 32. Okay, is that one clear so far? Now, if you want to, if you're into calculating, and you want to take, I'll put my finger on this here, okay? And you want to calculate this here, I can help you behind, after the lecture, but you can do it yourself. It's actually pretty straightforward. You choose what you want to be. If you want to be at 16 or 24 or something like that, you plug that in, you have to calculate then, since it's a percent, you have to take 0.24 instead of 24. And if you have a calculator, it will actually spit out then your desired body weight with the new percentage. That can be done. Okay? And if you have problems with it, I can calculate with you there. Alright, so now we have said the problem is there. It's unhealthy to be overweight. We said what it is. Now, what can you do about it? And there, as I said, I have the ABCs, what to do about it. Underweight, as I said, I'm not going to talk much about it. Those people need to eat more. They need to think of milkshakes and how they can get more calories in. And one thing that could help is strength training to build up some muscle. But it's tough. It's tough. It's not easy. So, but since most of you are not in that category, what do you do about overweight? And since it's such a rampant problem, 66% or maybe even 70% by now of the U.S. population is either overweight or obese. So that's the majority, and it is in this country too. So you've heard lots about it. So what do you do about it? I'm asking you now, what do you do about it?
Exercise.
Exercise is one. Okay, thank you. That's the point I'm going to come to.
Plant-based diet.
Right? Okay, eat a plant-based diet, I'll come to that, and yes, that can make a lot of difference, can make a 30-pound difference. Okay? What else did we say?
Drink more water.
Drink water, yes?
Refined sugar.
Yes, watch your sugar. Soft drinks are are adding to our calories that we intake in. And so easy to drink a can of soft drinks. It's very, very easy. 12 spoonfuls of sugar. You look at that hidden sugar there in one of those. Some people drink several a day. That's just added empty calories. And that just boosts our calories. So yes, sugar is something to watch too. Fat in the diet, sugar in the diet, watch how much you eat. But there's some other things you might be surprised, or maybe not. Okay, the A, mind over matter. Okay, mind over matter. What matters more is your relationship to God than your weight. Okay, don't get too stressed out about it. That's what I'm trying to say. There's lots of Bible verses that can help us here. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's what matters first. And that's, us health nuts, we sometimes get carried away. Sorry about that. But there are more important things than health. Yes. Spiritual health is more important than anything else in this life. So first the kingdom of God, and God wants to help you. There's a text here in Exodus 15:26 that says, I will put none of these diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians. Do you know what diseases the Egyptians suffered from? Pardon? Cancer too, yes. And did they have overweight problems in those days? They did. We have pictures of it. In fact, I think I have one for you. Yes, it's coming. This was given to a specific population of Israelites in the desert, and we have to be always careful with transposing into our context. But I think God wants us to be healthy. I think we can agree with that. Okay? And God, if we do follow His principles, will actually help us not to get sick, although I wouldn't go as far, never. In fact, I know people that have gotten sick and have died, and they were very healthy people. And they had when I was working in Germany for the SDA Church and the Health Ministry Department, I had a workmate, and his wife lived very healthy. She all of a sudden was diagnosed with a rare cancer. And she died of it, in spite of the whole church praying, etc. And you know cases like that too. Okay, there are people that live healthy, and there's things we can learn from that. Not that I can explain it or want to explain it, but we live in an evil world, and it happens. So there's no 100% protection from any diseases we will get. But if we live God's principles, God wants us to be healthy. That's important. And it's hard to lose weight. I know that because I've helped many people. Not that I have the problem, but I've helped many people lose weight. I've used to run weight management clinics in my days at Loma Linda, and it is tough. In fact, scientific research is very discouraging. Hardly anybody can get the weight off and keep it off. Now, to lose weight in 4 weeks and in 2 months, that is fairly easy, relatively easy. To keep it off, not for 2 months, but for 2 years and for 10 years, that's where the problem is. And that's why diets are just a quick fix that will actually do the opposite of what we actually intend, and I'll come to that. Okay, so diet is not the answer to the weight problem. In fact, it's part of the problem. Okay, so God will help us, and it has to be a lifestyle change that can last. Not something you do for 4 weeks and then you go back to what you call normal. It will never do. It will never do. It has to be something that will you have to do. For the rest of your life. For the rest of your life. And mind over matter also has to do with priorities. My wife and I had a discussion here before we came. Virginia, what did you say about mind over matter? as a woman that is struggling sometimes with weight. Okay? What do you have to say about mind over matter? This is my wife, if you don't know her. Virginia.
Mind over matter?
Yes, or setting priorities. Pounds, yeah.
Pounds. And now I am closer to 154. And I'm way overweight. And my body fat composition isn't good. But I have a problem with setting priorities for myself. I put my family first. I feel as though I have to clean the house, I have to feed the kids, I have to support my husband, and support my myself, my work. So, to find time for myself to do exercise is hard. But then I came to realize that I have to love myself first, to love my family, because they need me. So now, I say, forget the house, let it be dirty. I'm going to do my exercise. And that has been helping me, where I put God first, myself second, and then those who I love, because then I can serve them.
Amen. Amen. So it's a... Thank you, thank you. It's a matter of setting priority. You have to do what it takes. And it will take quite a bit. That's basically it. In the airplane, they tell you when the cabin pressure goes down and the oxygen mask come down, put it on yourself first and then on your child. Or help somebody else. Why? If you're dead, you can't help anybody, right? And that's how it is with health too. If you're dead, you cannot help anybody. That's why you have to set priorities and you have to do what it takes. Okay, so that's number one, mind over matter. Number two, here's the Egyptian picture here. Do you see this? I have a pointer. And there's actually quite a few mummies that we have that were overweight. Do you see this person here? The Egyptians at a certain dynasty were able to be very wealthy. They had slaves to do the work. And they refined flour and sugar and they ate a lot more meat than before. And believe it or not, they became overweight already 3,000 and 4,000 years ago. Okay, so this is not that new, but the dimension of how many people get overweight, that is new in this world. Yes, and there's the text that I was referring for earlier. Okay, then health, overweight, I'm still at the mind over matter, but weight is not a single problem. It has to do with health. Try to be healthy before you try to lose weight. That's what I'm trying to say. And Dr. Lawrenson yesterday talked about the rainbow of health, right? He talked about drinking enough water, getting enough sleep, having enough rest. All these things play into it. And I'm not going to mention them in a specific way here. But he talked to you about this New Start principle. He worked at WEMA. I've worked in a similar institution in the Black Hills of South Dakota as medical director. So that's what we use to treat people and to help people. And nutrition and exercise and water and sunshine. You can't even see it if I'm standing on this side. Okay. Temperance, all things in moderation, right? Leave the bad things out, but even the good things, don't overdo it. Fresh air, rest, and trust in God. Those are the principles of a healthy life, and they will help you also in this problem with weight management. Okay, so now we come to B. Number A, A was, of ABC, was mind over matter. Okay? B, reduce caloric intake but do not diet. Okay? Okay, let's talk about diets. Diets do not work. They do not. Okay, and now I asked for a whiteboard. Yes, it is white. It's not quite the size I imagined. But, you know, then we try to trim, right? Not just our bodies, we also trim the whiteboards. Okay, we'll just have a little graph here. And this is just a very oversimplified illustration. Here is our weight. Okay, and we notice it has crept up, and I'll use, Susie Pudge, yes. Susie Pudge steps on the scale, and she noticed her weight is up again, and it's probably not the scale, it's actually her weight. Okay, and she read in her favorite women's magazine, Scientific Women and Gossip Review, about this amazing new diet. Just what she needed. Turns fat into water while you sleep and flushes it right out of your body. Wow! It sounds too good to be true. And when things sound too good to be true, they're probably not true. Well, anyway, it says you can eat as much as you want. However, you can only eat eggs and grapefruit. Now that's a principle how almost all diets work. They may tell you you can eat as much, but they will restrict your intake. And how many eggs and grapefruit can you eat? Well, there's a limit, right? And that's exactly what happens. Our calorie intake, as we start our diet, drops. And as your calories drop, what will happen to your weight? It will drop also, yes. Some people easier than others, but that's what happens in dieting. And since you see a success, you say, yes, it's working, great. But 3 weeks into her diet, she noticed that her weight, well, we can make it a little steeper to kind of make the point, there's all of a sudden a plateau. She didn't cheat. She didn't drink any soft drinks. She didn't drink anything. She only ate grapefruit and eggs. But she stopped losing. Why? Well, it's because her body adjusts. Her body doesn't know that if she keeps on going like this, she'll be at zero over here, and if you're at zero, you're dead. Yeah. Okay? So the body will try to do anything to keep that from happening. So it pulls all the emergency brakes possible. Your metabolism will slow down. You'll become sluggish. And you don't want to move, you like to stay in bed most of the time. You're cold because your body temperature is not up there anymore. And what we actually use most of the energy for in our what we use energy is just to maintain the potassium, sodium potassium pump and all those kinds of your heart rate. All that kind of slows down. You go into hibernation. Until the body is able to keep the weight with only grapefruit and eggs. You can almost only smell on food and you gain already. That's how it goes, right? So now Susie is disgusted. What are we going to do? Well, Ergang said eggs are not good. There's too much cholesterol in it. Let's drop the eggs and then eat only grapefruit. Okay, so what happens with the calories now? They drop again. And what will happen to the weight? Well, let's assume it drops again to up to a point. and there comes a plateau. Well, the body has managed, and as I said, this is a overdrawn example here, okay? The body has managed to keep the weight with this little calories. Okay? Now, what kind of weight did you lose here? You lost a lot of muscle. And the muscle actually keeps your metabolism up. That keeps the idling speed of our body up. So yes, you lost some fat, you lost a lot of water, and you lost muscle. Okay? So now it will be a lot harder for her to ever maintain weight because of this fasting spell. Your metabolism has adjusted to a very low level, that with the same amount of food that you're used to, it will shoot up. So Susie is now disgusted. She says, I'm now going to eat normal again. The diet doesn't work. And all she has been thinking of for the last 6 weeks is food. We have 6 weeks is food. Okay? So now she's going to eat normal. And let's assume she's not going to eat any more than she did before. I'm sure she will. But let's assume she's only going to eat what she ate before. That's where we're going to pick up here. What will happen to her weight? It will go through the sky. Because her metabolism has gone so low that now with that much food, it will just shoot up. And she will actually be in a much worse state than she was before. Kind of the yo-yo effect. Too much weight dieting, too much weight, but it goes up, the weight goes up. Yo-yo effect, they call that. Okay? All the, as Hans Diehl called it, the rhythm method of growth control. And it doesn't work. It doesn't work. Okay, now, whoever needed the whiteboard here, I don't need it anymore. Somebody said he needed the whiteboard, okay? So, diets do not work. In fact, by decreasing our metabolism, they make it harder for us. Dieting does the opposite. Dieting is part of the problem. Diet is not the answer. Because what did she learn from all this? She learned diet didn't work. This diet didn't work. Of course, there comes the next magazine and they have another diet, right? And she'll jump right on it and the cycle repeats itself. They say that most 14 years old girls have tried several diets already. There's a diet every 7 minutes on the market. You try them all. You cannot. But anyway, diets do not work because they reduce our metabolism, they make the body more efficient, which is nice in a way, but not for losing weight, and so that does not work. So what does work? Okay, there's a national institute in the US, it's called the National Heart, Lung and Blood Institute, and this is not grown on my own wisdom here. These are the key diet recommendations. The initial weight goal should be about 10% of your present body weight. So if you weigh 150, your initial goal should be 15 pounds of loss. Don't set the goal too high because then you'll fail. That's the idea, okay? So try for 10% of your body weight as an initial goal, if you're overweight, of course, you know. And then with success, you can think of more, okay? But that's the first step, okay? And you should be aiming at a loss of about 1 to 2 pounds a week, not more, not more. Why? It gets you into this problem here. If you lose too fast, you'll gain again. You'll gain it weight back. So trying to come to a lifestyle approach that aims at cutting out about 500 to 1,000 calories a day. That doesn't mean you have to eat that less. You have to create a deficit. See, weight is like a bank account, like a savings account. If you put money in, it becomes more. If you take money out, it gets less. Your body weight is similar. If you put more calories in than you take out, it will increase. If you take more calories out than you put in, it will go down. Okay, so you have to create a deficit, either by eating less or by exercising more. Okay, but it shouldn't be too much, only about 500 to 1,000 calories deficit a day. Otherwise, you get in this problem with a low metabolism. Okay, and it still will go down a little bit with this, but not so much. With a bigger difference, your metabolism will go down further. Okay? Yes?
What is the normal calorie intake for?
Well, that's a little hard to determine, but most people eat around 2,000, 2,500. So if you cut 500 out of that, you're at 1,500. That's the lowest you should go in terms of calorie intake for most people. Okay? Now, how do you do that? Well, there we are again. I put those little things, those demonstrations. Fat has the most calories. That's the easiest to cut out. Okay? So eat things that are low in fat and low in calories, and eat lots of those because you need something to fill your tummy with. We forgot, but I was going to bring you cut cucumbers and peppers and tomatoes and stuff like that. It looks pretty, and you will never, never gain weight on that if you don't use the dip that goes with it. Okay? But if you just eat vegetables, cooked steamed vegetables, you know, I'm not saying exclusively that. I'm just saying concentrate on those things. Natural foods, the way God let them grow. Fruits are great too. They do have calories. You can overdo it with them, but generally they are pretty good. But the added fats, that's number one. Then the drinks. It is so easy to drink a glass of juice that has 150 calories. You tend to eat 10 apples where the juice came from, maybe a little harder. Okay? The refining of foods makes it so much easier for us to eat so much of it. Now, why do we like the fat? You know, we like it. It's tastier, right? When you put butter on the steamed beans, it's tastier, right? Yes, it is. Why did God do this for us? Why do we like it? You know, the chocolate that coats the mouth. Tastes so good, right? So why did He do us in? Well, for thousands of years, humans had a struggle to get enough calories together. For thousands of years, we had a hard time finding enough calories to support ourselves. And it was good that anything that tasted fatty, anything that tasted sweet, anything that tasted like protein, we would go for it. We still do, but we live in a different environment. You know, what kind of foods were high fat in Adam and Eve's world? Only nuts, and they come in a tough shell, and they're usually very small. Okay, he probably wouldn't even consider those with all those delicious fruits around. Okay, so it was a very low fat diet. There's a few avocados, yes, but generally speaking, fairly low calories. So the natural foods, they're not a problem. Animal products, yes, they're higher in calories. Now I better get through this here because we need to think of closing this off. Okay, the recommendations here again, 500 to 1,000 calories less a day. Okay, keep the dietary fat intake below 30% of the calories. 20% probably would be a better aim, or 25%. Okay, and well, you don't want to eat too much protein either, so carbohydrates, even though there's some people that have made a religion out of no carbohydrates. Yes, the refined carbohydrates. White rice is not very good. White bread, white stuff, yeah, that's not so good. You should stay away from that. But still, you need to eat something, and so carbohydrates is what's left. emphasis, healthy diet. And don't think just of weight, think of health. Choose foods high in fiber because they fill us up. Okay? Eat lots of carrots, you're full, and then you eat something else and you'll be much better. Okay, and then... yes? I can stand there, then they can't see. Okay, this is probably, I'll probably have to jump over this. Reducing dietary fat, it's basically don't, you know, cut out the visible fats, be careful with animal products, that's where we go there. Okay, and sugar and soft drinks, I mentioned that already. You can add a lot of calories in a very short time, the empty calories, by soft drinks and even juices, even fruit juices. They're refined because the fiber's out. Okay? Yes, doctor, do I need a bypass? Yes, you need a bypass. You need a bypass around the refrigerator, the french fries, the pizza parlor, the burger shop. That's the bypass we need, yes? Vegetarians are less overweight, and somebody mentioned plant-based diet. Yes, I work with the team in Loma Linda on the Avenus Health Study 2, which is, some of you may be enrolled in it. It's a study that studies 95,070 Avenus in North America, and we have some results already. And this study, we had enough people with different type of dietary vegetarian diets. And so this is the Avenus Health Study 2, done by Loma Linda. Dr. Gary Fraser is the lead researcher. I help him here with some data in Alberta. Yes? Oh yes, that's on the average. You can easily gain weight with a vegetarian diet. Yes, there's a lot of vegan foods that are very high in calories. Yeah. Oh yes, sugar is vegan, right? Yes, there's a so-called pudding vegetarian. Okay? Yes, and you can easily, but generally speaking, it's the animal foods that have more. And a vegetarian diet, in a good sense, restricts your diet, but not as much as a diet as such, okay? So on the average, this is what we see here. Now, this is weight difference in the blacks is on a different slide. They're a little different. Okay, females and males, average height, and these are the diets: vegan, lacto-ovo, pesco, eat fish, semi-vegetarian, eat very little meat, and normal. Okay, non-vegetarian, and this is the average weights. And the difference in males here is 30 pounds between a vegan and a non-vegetarian. So it does make a difference. It is maybe not so striking, but 30 pounds is 30 pounds. Yes?
Can we make a difference by cutting the salt out of the food we cook?
Oh, that's very good. It helps your blood pressure. It has nothing to do with weight.
Okay.
Well, this is, you add water, okay? That's not fat, that's water that you gain.
Yes. Every time I eat other people's food, I swell up like a blitz.
Yes. Some people are more sensitive to it than others. It's too much salt is definitely not good. There's a lot of reasons, but not so much with body fat. Okay?
When I tell them about it, they take it as an insult to their food, so I put donkey.
Yeah, well, I try to eat little salt because my blood pressure is sensitive to it, so I watch it myself, and it's not good. We lose calcium if you eat too much sodium, so much salt, and so on. Not good. But in terms of calories, salt doesn't have any calories by itself, but it draws water, and some of us are more sensitive to it than others, and we just bottle up more water. Yes? Iodized salt and non-iodized salt, there's no difference. The sea salt has a few other minerals that are like potassium salts, and they are supposedly a bit healthier, yes. Okay. I don't know, I would have to look at the chemical thing, but the potassium is better than the sodium, but it doesn't taste as salty and as good. That's the thing. Okay, same thing in blacks. You see the difference too. The vegans are the lowest weight and on the average, of course. Now, that doesn't mean that there are vegans that are very heavy, and it doesn't mean that there aren't any normal weight non-vegetarians. I'm just saying it helps. Okay? And that's all I said here. Okay, A, B, C. So, A was mind over matter. Number two was the caloric restriction or a deficit in terms of your caloric intake. Number three is get physically active. Number one, there's a lot of things we can do to be more active. We could move around a lot more. The shopping mall. Where do you park the car? Do you drive into the door or as close to the door as possible? There's lots of empty spots on the furthest corner. Take that. You will not bang your car. It's great. And you have extra walking. If there's stairs, go for them. Take the stairs, unless you have a physical handicap, of course. Try to do active transport. Ruben mentioned it. I like to cross-country ski in the winter to work. It's not that far, but it takes me 20 minutes or so. Active transport, whenever possible. Try to think being active. That's number one. Number two is, we do need exercise too. But number one, Adam and Eve probably did not go jogging in the Garden of Eden. They had enough activities. So if your work can provide that activity, great. However, most of ours don't. I sit most of the time on a computer. Okay? And so I have to actively do something and I go exercise. What helps with weight is now two things. Aerobic, that burns some calories, gets us out in the fresh air, keeps us healthy, keeps our heart healthy. What also helps, and Candice Sela is going to talk to you about strength training. Strength training builds up muscle, and muscles increases our motor and our metabolism. And so our basal metabolism will be higher, and we have a much easier time in maintaining weight. Okay, so I think Mr. Schaefer and Dr. Lawrence already talked about exercise. You have an idea what aerobic is. That means get out there and move your large muscle groups. If you can't run, like I ran my 6-7 kilometers this morning, I love it. But if you can, do something else. Find something you like. That's the most important thing. As he said, Dr. Cooper has said, the biggest difference is between a couch potato and somewhat active. Start doing something. And strength training is especially valuable for weight loss because you're building muscles and your muscles are more active, metabolically active. So those two are really good for losing weight. However, and do I have to close here? There's a lot of misconceptions about weight loss and exercise. You do not lose faster if you exercise more. It doesn't. If you make the deficit too big, you go in the same trap as this year. Your body metabolism actually will go down. And you do not lose faster with exercise. You do not reverse the drop in metabolism with exercise. So why do you exercise then? Well, that deficit is good and exercise is healthy. And this is the most important one. In long-term studies, it has been shown that those that can keep the weight off are the ones that exercise. Now, I'm not saying that nobody can do it without, but that's how it goes. For most everybody, those that are successful over the long term, over years of keeping the weight on, are the ones that exercise. I have a few more slides here about those misconceptions. We think that it does wonder. We like to tell people that exercise is good for you. I would like to tell you, you lose a lot faster if you exercise. The studies that they have done show, no, it's not that way. It doesn't work that way. But if you want to be long-term successful, and you can, God wants you to, then add this third component, the exercise, to it. Okay, and that's where I want to close. So what did I tell you? I gave you the problem. I told you how do you know, and I gave you the ABCs. Mind over matter, reduce calories, be active. Any questions?
Yes.
Yes.
Belly fat.
Yes.
I have probably lost maybe 40 to 50 pounds.
Uh-huh.
But the belly fat is
going on. Okay, he's done a lot of exercise, but it didn't come off his tummy. The belly fat, the spare tire. There is no way of spot reducing. You cannot decide, I want to lose it here or here or wherever, and it will work that way. No. And that's genetically determined. Okay? And some of us, the female fat density distribution is more like a pear shape, this way, and then it comes on the hips, seconds on the lips, forever on the hips, right? And it comes, it doesn't come off there easily. Okay, others, males, a male fat to the apple shape, it tends to be in around the organs, and it doesn't, and the only way to get it off is to reduce generally. As it comes off, if you get low enough, it will come off there too. But you cannot spot reduce. If you exercise your tummy, it will make your tummy tighter, but it will not take the fat out from there and so not somewhere else. It will not work. Spot reducing doesn't work. But you can tone your muscles. It will make a better shape, but it will not take the fat off where you exercise. You do walk, the exercise from your hips doesn't go off because of that. Okay? But as you empty your fat reserves to a normal, then that will equalize eventually. All right, other questions? Yes?
How much exercise would be too much,
sir? They say if you want to lose with exercise, you should aim for an hour a day. And most people are not willing to do that. That's why I didn't put goals like that in front of you. The main thing is to think active and to get active. If you build up to it, there's probably, you know, like walking, hiking, you can't do too much of that. So you don't have to worry about that too much. Now, if you're totally inactive and after the first day you're totally sore, you overdid it. Obviously, you never should get sore from exercise. That's overdoing it. But if you slowly build up to it, you can run marathons, and there's not too many obese marathon runners, I can tell you that much. If it's not too intense, the exercise, then there's hardly any limit to it. Yes, you can overdo exercise, And your immune system, if you run a competitive marathon, your immune system will go down again and so on. There are some negative effects, but generally speaking, for weight loss, an hour a day, 2 hours a day is not a problem. Yes?
I feel like a lot of people, are, maybe it's a diet, I don't know what people consider diets, but a lot of people have a lot of protein in their diet, and they use protein, and they say that's, if you eat more protein, then you're going to lose more weight and stuff, but that, maybe it's a diet thing, but I don't know.
Well, there's the Atkins diet, which says don't eat any carbohydrates, eat only fat, meat, and stuff like that. And you lose from it. Why? You can eat as much as you want, but only, and that's exactly what happens. You don't eat as much, okay? And it's not good for your heart. It's the protein is a fad. Actually, the body has a hard time taking care of too much protein. It's bad for your kidneys because all that nitrogen has to be taken out of the body. It can lead to kidney problems in the long run. Too much protein, you want to get enough, obviously. We need enough protein. But too much is just a waste. And it's extra for the body to take care of. You don't want too much fat because of heart problems, because of the extra calories. So what's left is complex carbohydrates. I don't recommend too high protein. No. But yes, there are people that claim that and they swear on it. And yes, weight is a big, big problem. And whenever there's a big problem without a very, very simple, good solution, there's many, many remedies. So you will find many, many claims about it. And many of those claims are hocus pocus and they're unsubstantiated and so on. There's many, any problem that medical science doesn't have a very, very good answer to, you'll have many, many claims that are made. Arthritis. We don't have a very good treatment for arthritis in medicine, so there's lots of unsubstantiated claims. And then it's a cyclic type of thing, so if you take whatever it is that is supposed to be good for it, if you take it just when your arthritis is on the way down, it helped, great, it must be good, and then you get all these testimonials and stuff like that. You'll lose weight and you'll find people that say, yes, this diet is it. Well, yeah, testimonials don't prove anything. Yes, but when you exercise so much that you have a higher energy demand, you'll automatically eat more, and you eat more protein, and that's actually enough. You don't need to separate out the protein, and you don't need protein mixes and protein drinks. Nobody does. Even a power weightlifter does not need that. Okay? You may have to watch a little bit to eat a little extra protein, but you do not need these protein mixes and concentrated protein and stuff like that. Nobody does need that. But it's something that the industry would like to sell you, yes. And times